is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is exactly right. Thank you, Lord. Well, we just want to go to the Lord in prayer and welcome Him into this event, this time together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for this moment in time that we can be together. Lord Jesus, we pray for those that are still on their way, that those that are traveling. Lord Jesus, we pray for traveling mercies upon them. We pray for peace to be in their car. We pray for those that were not able to make it today, whether it's through health issues or other issues that would be keeping them away today. Lord, we just pray blessing upon them, healing upon them, Lord Jesus. And we just pray for the other bodies, the other churches that are meeting all across this nation and all around the world this day through Sunday, Lord Jesus. We just pray Your blessing upon them, Lord Jesus. We thank You, we praise You, and again, we just welcome You and Your Holy Spirit to be in this room, in this body right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So I'm going to do three songs today. And the first song is a praise song about how the Lord changes us. And then the second song is how we're going through really hard times, but the Lord still saves us. And then the last song is how we both meet at the cross, no matter what we're going through. And this morning, I really felt like the Lord put these songs on my heart, even though I was like, Lord, they're a little bit eclectic. And He's like, just trust Me. Father, that may be for some of us here this morning, Lord God, that may just completely reign true, that we are finally, for the first time, seeing ourselves as you see us and finding that one true love, not anything that this world can give us, and how your love, Lord God, is so much more real than anything that this world can give us, Father. Help us seek that first. For some of us right now, we might be struggling. I pray, Father, that if we have a brother and sister going through joyful things, we can rejoice with them. But, Father, I also pray if we have brothers and sisters going through hard times right now, Lord, that we lift them up and we pray for them and you bring them to our memory, Lord God. Remind us of them so that we can get on our knees and intercede for them, Father.
Thank you.
Father, no matter what we're going through, whether it just be this amazing time of joy or hardships, or sometimes, Father, we just don't feel anything. Sometimes we're just numb, and we're like, Lord, I felt you when I was first following you, and I even felt you during the storm, but right now things are kind of okay, and I just feel maybe a little tired, a little lost. No matter what we're going through, we can always run to the cross. Things may not be extremely exciting, but we can still learn from the Bible. So I pray, Father, that when we feel those times rising up, Lord God, we just open up that Bible and say, Lord, speak to us. Because you might tell us something that we need to share with others too, Father. Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled, for my Father, as we share today, Lord God, and as those that come up and share testimonies, Father, I pray that you just clarify their mind, give them the right words to speak, Father, and I just pray that it's just this powerful testimony that you can use for others, Lord. And we give you this day, Father. We just lift up anyone right now, Lord, our brothers and sisters, Father, that are going through hard times. Maybe they're embarrassed to share something, and or maybe they have shared, and Father, I just pray that we just lift them all up to you right now, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you bring someone into their lives, Lord, that can just really encourage them. But, Father, I pray that it's not worldly encouragement, Father. I pray that it's God-breathed scripture. I pray, Father, that it's your words, Lord, because this world fails us, but your word never does. And Father, we give you this day. Amen.
Hey, George, do you have the little microphone fuzzy thing? To the end. Okay, well, it's off. So if anybody sees a little microphone cover on the end of this thing, on the floor, let me know. Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few minutes of announcements, and then we're going to do a little bit of testimony time for those who didn't have time to do it last week, and then we're going to start the book of Habakkuk. And so let's start off in prayer and just ask the Lord. Lord, we just ask for your presence here, Lord God. You are our teacher, Lord God. It's your Holy Spirit that convicts us. It's your Holy Spirit that teaches us, Lord God, all things, Lord. It's your Holy Spirit that reveals all things. So, Lord, we just submit ourselves to you, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes, open our minds to whatever you are trying to speak personally to us, Lord God. Help us to be faithful to seek you, to be real with you, Lord God, and to allow you to do whatever you want to do in us, Lord God. So we give you this time, we give you this day, Lord God, just even if there's any more testimonies from last week, Lord God, that they would just be shared, Father, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would just bless your word, Lord God, and that it will not return void in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, praise the Lord. Well, a couple of things. We had an awesome time last week. And so just want to say thank you just for everybody's hard work at the picnic. And we had 300 pounds of that beef brisket. It was so awesome. I don't know. I haven't seen Michael and Shirley here yet. I don't know if they're here somewhere. But they worked so hard. It was awesome. Saw them Thursday. They cooked Thursday too. Man, it was just so awesome. So many people just helping in so many ways to get all that done. It's just been fantastic. We're not going to take up official tithes and offerings here. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated. If you want to give to the Lord and you're thankful for him, then we have a little bird box in the back. You put your tithes and offerings, weekly or monthly tithes, back in the back and you give to the Lord. And again, we just wanted to say thank you for just celebrating Jesus and all the testimonies. There were some visitors here last week. And they said, they came to me and said, you know what? They said at most churches, nobody gets up to give testimonies. He says, like at this church, they don't stop. And so, at anyway, what we're going to do in a minute again is for those, we did have to stop it after a long while. And it was really wonderful. And if you weren't here, I'm so sorry you missed it. But it was just a beautiful time. We had bounce houses for the kids and all that stuff. It was just a fantastic outside service, great day. But remember, sometimes if God's putting something on your heart, I just love it when things work right. Don't you love technology?
When it works.
When it works, yeah. Okay, here we go. We're going to get there eventually. Okay. But just remember Revelation 12:11. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So our testimonies have power when they're focused on Jesus. And so if you're going to share anything, please share about what Jesus is doing in your life, okay? Or how faithful he's been. He is the focus here, right? Not us, all right? I want to say thank you for everybody who contributed to the garage sale. I think Connie said she wanted to share. She was one of the ones that wanted to share last week. And so we'll bring her up here. Also, I can only imagine, man, I just want to encourage you, if you have not seen that movie in the theaters, we want to encourage you to do that. Again, if you can't afford it, someone came last week and said, I really want to go see this, and me and my child, and we will even pay for it. If you don't have the money, we want you to go see this and to be encouraged in the Lord. So, yes, Betty. We got to run you the mic, though, because, so... There, thanks.
This movie, my niece went to take my great niece to it. She's 11 years old, and this movie saved her. She's getting baptized this morning in Mississippi.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Hey, God's already starting the testimonies. We also want to encourage you to see Paul, Apostle of Christ. Again, just support the Christian movies that are out. We've got three out right now. I don't know how often that happens. Also, God's Not Dead, A Light in the Darkness. That's also playing. We want to encourage you to go see all those movies. Next month, we're having Loving Hands come here on Mother's Day. Yay. And so Anthony's going to be here and Flo's honor. And they're going to have a time of testimonies, what God's doing in people's life. If you guys were here last year, you know how powerful that is. And so be excited, and they're going to be sharing. Also, you guys know part of our deal is we equip the saints. So again, if you're looking for Christian music or teachings online, 88.1, excuse me, online, I should say, on the radio, or 104.3, if you can play music, why not play music that honors the Lord? And I shared that last week. Also, sermons online, homefellowshipchurch.com, if you want to go through verse-by-verse teaching. We have a loaner library back there. We have audiobooks if you want to pop a CD in your car. We've got books. We've got DVDs if you want to watch family stuff, all Christian stuff, free two-week loaners. Please bring them back. This is all God's money and God's stuff. So please make sure you bring them back. We want to invite you out Sunday mornings at about 9, 9:15 for prayer. If God has stirred you for prayer, we would love for you to join us and to be praying for just the church, the community, Lord, for salvation, for people. We want to encourage you to come out to that. Also, this Tuesday, yes, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, The Pursuit of a Meaningful Life. And that's here. 6 o'clock is dinner for the guys. And then after that, directly, is the Bible study. Anything else you want to say on that? Gary, Mark, whoever's here. No. All right. Also, Transformers Youth Group, 6:30 to 8:30, Wednesday here. And not only that, Amanda Pand and Josh, is that the lock-in? Do I remember correctly? Are they here? Are they still outside? Okay. Is that still this weekend? Okay. Nehemiah, would you run that to Miss Amanda Panda and Mr. Josh?
Yeah, the youth group lock-in is going to be this Friday. I believe we're going to show up here about 6:30.
Okay.
We'll have pizza for the kids, you know, so in case they didn't get supper, you know, they can get some of that.
Okay.
And then it'll be until 8:30 in the morning, Saturday. So okay. Pretty much all night locked in with the youth. You know, we'll be doing some Bible studies. You know, we'll play board games. You know, just a lot of fun. Watch a Christian movie or some sort. But, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of bonding with the youth group. And
is there anything you want them to bring besides, like, sleeping bags and their toiletries, anything like that?
Maybe their favorite snacks also. All right. But we pretty much got a lot of it covered.
Cool. Sounds great. All right, that's this weekend. Okay, and here's a picture from... That was last year. So if anybody else wants to volunteer, any more adults, we'd love to have you, okay? And also Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. We're going to be doing this week, we're going through the book of Kings, and we're going through the book of Mark. So this week we'll be going through the book of 1 Kings. I think we're roughly in chapter 18-ish. So we go ish, heavy on the ish. Also, I just want to do a quick book recommendation. The school just went to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum here, Shepherd's Heart Christian School. And so just we did this as a devotional, and I just want to encourage you, you can get this on Amazon.com for about $9, okay? I want to encourage everyone, this is the updated and expanded version. It's called Not a Fan, Becoming a Completely Committed Follower of Jesus by Kyle Eidelman. And we just want to encourage everyone, if you have not read this book, you can buy it in the bookstore, up on Amazon.com, and we want to encourage you to get it. So just pray and ask if the Lord would have you to read it. It's a great book, and we just want to encourage you to grab it. All right? So think about it.
Is it a pretty easy read, like if I read it for Lydia, who's 14?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's a fantastic book. The question was, is it an easy read for somebody who's 14? And yes. I think Skylar said she just finished the book, and she's 13. All the teens, we had adults and teens reading it, and in the morning they would read a chapter, and then we'd all talk about it at night, and it was powerful. They were all really encouraged. Their faith was definitely stretched and challenged, and with both adults and teens. So yes, Jessie in our house is reading it. Oh, she's probably the kids. Anyway, Jessie at our house is also reading it to Nehemiah and Zeke. And so he's 10 and he loves it. So I would definitely do it. All right. Before we get into the word here, again, we had a little bit of extra time. We needed more time for testimonies. And so the microphone, you have it, Nehemiah. So if anybody else would like to come up and share about Jesus, we would love to hear from you. So I just want to give everybody a chance. So, okay, hand raised. All right. Testimonies about Jesus before we... Yeah.
Do you want it up front or...
I would, but you choose. If you want to sit there, if it's more... All right, you go, girl. Monica.
Think I can move?
We even got a nice comfy chair for you.
Oh, that's quite all right.
We give Amy the really uncomfy chair, but for
that
you.
That works. Okay, this is a praise report. About 7 months ago, I was at the doctor, and she was unable to hear much in my left lung. I had had open heart surgery back in 08, and it was full of liquid and so on. So anyway, she decided to send me to a pulmonologist, to check for lung cancer. They took a CAT scan. He made a mental note there really was not much there. Come back in 6 months. So Tuesday I went back for my 6 month, and absolutely nothing has changed.
Praise the Lord.
So now I go back in 1 year. So I'll take a year.
Praise the Lord is right. That's awesome. Good, good, good. Anybody else? Okay, sure.
I'm following up.
Okay.
In 1985, I was diagnosed with female cancer. I was in Seattle, Washington, and I was sitting on the examining table, looking out a window. It was beautiful sunshine, colorful sailboats. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You need to do what the doctor says. I need you around." So I did. He saved me. Then, in 2016... I was diagnosed with lung cancer in my right lung. Once again, I talked to the Lord. And I talked heavy every day, every day, every day, that it was His will, not mine. I wasn't asking Him to save me. I was asking Him for His will. I had the right upper lobe of my right lung removed. I had a PET scan from the top of my eyebrows to my knees when I arrived here in Florida, which was in December. I'm totally cancer free.
Nah, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You know, it's His will, not ours.
That's it, right. That's awesome. Saw some other hands. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, would you hand that mic back? Oh, Kayla, you can hand the mic. No, I want you to hand the mic, for crying out loud. I'm not asking you to do a dance. Hand the mic back. I can't do it.
I love this church. We're so wonderful. Okay, so my praise report goes back maybe 10 years now. And the church I was going to, the pastor couldn't be. I went there 10 years, and the pastor had to stop because he was sick. And they got a new pastor, which I wasn't comfortable with. So I stopped going to church, and I was just praying that I could find a church. And all my children were praying for me and getting upset that I wouldn't just go. And I said, that's too exhausting. So I went to the Refuge Calvary Chapel. And I went in there, and it was a bigger church than here. And Darren sat down next to me, and he told me everything that church was about, and it was everything I had questions about. And one of the big things, I know this sounds funny, but one of the big things was I don't like to be manipulated. Mm-hmm. I want to give to the Lord. I want His work to be done. But don't make me
guilt-ridden.
And he answered that question. No, the box is back there. You think of what you want and you give. And so I've been with Pastor Darren and sitting under him for all these years. And I feel that I've grown in my faith. And it's only God that led me here. And I did have 1 year where I thought, I got to see what's out there. I've been going here for so long. So for 1 year, I left this church and I walked around and I went to other churches. And I was miserable. And the Lord just said, you know, why don't you just go back? And I have, and I'm very grateful.
Praise the Lord. Welcome home. Woo! Okay. Oh, no. I'm not going to take it. Thank you, honey. Good. Okay, who else? Come on. Bring, okay. We'll pass it. Okay. Yeah. Would you bring it back? And then back to Connie. Now, listen, if you've already given your testimony, since we have a lot to share, if you did it last week, don't do it again this week unless God's telling you. Right? Only for, yes. Give it to Susan, then Connie back there. Thank you.
Good morning. There's so much I can say, but I don't want to take up the whole time here in church. There was a girl who used to come to church, and we reconnected after a number of years. And I was in a tough world at the time. I just felt like everything was just spiraling downhill. And I lost my way. I had been out of church for a number of years after bouncing around, just trying to find somewhere to fit in. Anyway, when I came to church, I met Shirley and Mike. And for a while, they took me in because, I'm not going to lie, I mean, I have bipolar disorder, and stupid me went off one of my medications because it wasn't working. And just everything just went wrong for me. And Shirley and Mike just boosted me in my faith again. And I have a lot to be thankful for. I love coming here. I like the fact that it's a small church and nothing like that seats like 1,000 people. I get overwhelmed with crowds. It's always been a fear that I've always had my whole life. A prayer was answered back on January 31st. My eldest son, who was severely abused as a child, as well as me, by my ex-husband, on his own, went in a rehab for a terrible heroin addiction. And today he is 75 days clean. He's doing well. Please continue to pray for him. His name is Michael. Drug addiction is in my family. My biological mother went through it. I went through it. I have a little bit over 35 years clean. And I'm hoping my son will follow that as well. I'm being baptized today, and as well as my husband, and we were just so excited. And I'm very happy to be, just around everybody here. I feel at home. I don't feel like I'm judged. And that's the main thing. You know, just to be in your comfort zone. And I want to thank everybody for that. And I love you guys.
Thank you.
My name is Ernie. I'm her husband. And we are going to get baptized today, as she said. But I, too, have had a lot of problems throughout my life as well. I had a head injury as a child when I was 11 years old. It affected me, mainly my vision. I have a problem with my eyes move back and forth uncontrollably. I have what they call a nystagmus. And I have gone through 4 years of college since my accident. I have gone through a terrible ordeal since my accident with an ex-wife who tried to murder me. But I've outlived them all. And, you know, prayer is what has carried me through, and belief. So if you don't believe, believe, because belief works.
I'm excited about you guys getting baptized. Yes. Hey, would you hand that back to Miss Connie, too? And then also, Ryan, where are you? Ryan, you're getting baptized today, barring a lightning storm. Ryan, we're baptizing you today as well. That's true. And Ryan, just to encourage you, Ryan said to me, you know, because first he came to us, he was, let's just say, completely unchurched, unsaved.
Yes.
And God has done an incredible work in him where he's gotten saved, and then he finally just came to me and said, you know what, I need to get baptized. And he's like, you know what, Pastor Darren? I said, what, Ryan? He said, I think it's about time. I said, I know! So we're excited, so very excited that he's getting baptized as well. And just so you know, This is just very casual. If anybody wants to come over to our house afterwards, we can give you directions. You're welcome to come. Again, barring a lightning storm, we're just going to have a few hot dogs. I don't know if there'll be 7 people or 70 people, whatever. And we're just going to do the baptism for those who are wanted to publicly profess Christ. And just so you know, too, what we do when we get there, so everybody knows, is we also will have a time where you could give words of encouragement in the Lord. If anybody has a word from the Lord or a prophecy or just a word of encouragement or they want to pray over them, we'll give you a chance to do that. We want to be open to what the Lord has to say, but we want to pray for them that they will live their lives worthy of the gospel, right? We don't need any more talkers, just talkers, right? We want war walkers living the life. Isn't that true? Amen. Okay, Miss Connie, sorry.
No, that's fine. Well, Pastor Darren called me a couple weeks ago, and he was calling me to say he had some items to donate to the garage sale or yard sale that I was having for Marcia and Dave. And, on that day, I was like, well, I have a praise report, too. I get to keep my job, which was, that was, it was unsure for about 3 months whether, they continue with the contract or place me on a different one. But they did. They told us at the last minute, like 2 days before I'd start training. But the yard sale also, that was, we made about $1,300 for Dave and Marcia to help them out in their move.
How much money?
It is
how
awesome.
How much money did we make?
$1,300.
Holy moly, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
I still have some stuff over the house, and I'm going to do it another couple weeks, starting next weekend, and then send them whatever else. So if anybody else has anything, know that it, I'm not going to try and get it back to you. It would go to it's like a house that does kidney foundation, a charity,
yes.
Rather than just goodwill, although they do good things. But
praise the Lord.
It will all be donated. So if you have something you want to, drop off, just contact me, and I'll put it in there. But I did also want to share, because I hate talking in front of people, so I guess I dodged the bullet on going up there. Which doesn't make any sense because I talk for a living. I guess it's just in front of people. And I have notes here because, I just wanted to jot down a couple things. Last week was really moving. It was wonderful for the body to come together and, share what people have gone through, how God has strengthened them, how he's worked in their lives to, just examples for other people. And there were a couple verses that, God had pointed out to me. And, this is Jeremiah 29:11. It's like, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not evil. And I want to give you a future and a hope. And, and the other one was, in Revelation 12:11, you had it up there this morning. They overcame the saints, and I know it's all prophecy and future, but the power to kick Satan out of heaven, he stands before God and accuses us day and night.
Yep.
And the power that was that drove him out is the blood of the Lamb, which is enough, by the way, but the word of our testimony. And I thank God for, things that happen, things that he provides for, and his hand has been on my life since I was born. I wasn't supposed to live, but he had other plans. So he's been a hold of my life, long before I accepted him as Savior. But, just to share that, he's like, I thank him, but he's like, well, tell other people, spread it around. So, they're just the insecurities that, we have. There were so many things that were pointed out last week, and it just struck me that, it's all seasons in our life, and Nathan had said that. It's, just seasons. Sophia came up sweet little Sophia. And she was just like in tears, moved by, you know, just the provision that God had, you know, in store for their family, and you know how he moved in their lives and their hearts, and you know, and then Nathan came up and clarified it a little bit and said, you know, the things that we were praying for, you know, the seasons in our lives, and that's really what, you know, I caught from last week altogether. You know, there's trials, there's, you know, good times and hard times, and you know, but God is faithful through all of that. He's trustworthy.
Yes.
With our heart, with yes. our mess ups, our deepest, you know, fears and all of our stuff. You know, we can bring it to him, lay it before him, and he's faithful to love us and approach us not as a, you know, judge, like a father, you know, to care about and guide, you know, rather than just judging. You know, does, you know, he's just faithful. You know, there was the kid, I think his name was Austin, he came up and he said he wanted to commit suicide when he was 7 years old. You know, how God takes stuff like that. Debbie Jo's life, yes. I know that, oh, so you know, just from being around her, you know, how he reaches down into, and Chantel, how he just reaches down into our situation, our, how badly we mess things up, how far we turn away, how much we go astray. He's faithful to just reach down and pick us up, and he gives beauty for ashes rather than accusing us and laying guilt on us. So I just, you know, I felt that I just need to, you know, thank God. He comforts, he heals, he restores, yes. he guides, he carries us through, you know, and he even gives us bonuses, like Heidi shared, you know, she got a blanket that her mom made, was like lost in their, you know, missionary trips, and then, ta-da, it's back and being delivered to her. So he knows all of our thoughts, all of our intentions, and he's just faithful through it all. Even, you know, my insecurities through being single and not knowing if, you know, the job, that's just my own pride and self-sufficiency, and you know, when I turn that over and you know I rely on him more, you know, it just I praise him for that.
Yes, he takes care of all things. It's awesome. Testimony is about Jesus.
Yes. I did a testimony last Sunday, but what I wanted to say again, thank you guys for supporting the youth group, and I have a couple of things. My grandma, a couple days ago, lately I've been debating whether God is real or not, and it got to the point where I actually started to cry about it, because I just wasn't sure. So I called my grandma, and she took me, and there's one thing that she said that really made me think about it. She said, pretend I don't believe in God. She said, if you're right and I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. If I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost eternity. And that really made me think. And the second thing is, last Sunday when I shared my testimony, as many of you know, I go to SMA. And Kayla, she used to go to SMA too. And I get bullied there sometimes. And she said she went through the same thing. And I'm thankful for Kayla, because she said, if there's any problems, I could just call her, because she went through the same thing.
That's awesome. Isn't how neat how God, you see how God's putting different people right in your path just to speak to you. All right, Jerry, you're next, and then we'll do Jen next, and then we'll finish up. Jerry, oh, back that way. It's just all Jesus. He's reaching out to you, honey. He loves you.
I just want to publicly thank my Father, my Lord, my Savior, and my Papa for bringing me to this church.
Thank you, Jesus.
He woke me up one night in the middle of the night, which he does a lot, and he also speaks to me in dreams.
Yep.
But this was, my heart was beating fast, and he said, I want you back in church. Now, I had probably been out of church for a good 10 years, but I have gone to church, you know, with different people, and praise God for the TV, but I was drying up. In fact, a few years ago, he told me when I had a seed that I had just eaten something that had a seed in it, he said, that's the way you are. You're drying up just like that seed. And I put it in my kitchen window for like a year. It was there to remind me. But this particular night, and I think it was in January, he said, I want you back in church. And he told me three other things that he wanted me to do, and I have. Although, my mind goes blank. Anyway, I was going to turn 70 in March, and that's my excuse. That sometimes my mind does go blank a little bit. But
so I'm in trouble at my age, is what you're saying.
Oh, buddy. But anyway, I'm back in church, and that's all going to be, you know, rekindled. But it's so good, and I have to tell you that you people are so nice and so lovely. And see, it went blank again.
It's okay.
But this church is just wonderful. Lisa, you're awesome. Darren, you're awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Every one of you that have come up to me and said hello or anything, it's just been wonderful. And I know my daughter is listening. She's in the nursery. And I thank her for always being there for me. And I love this church. So any of you that are coming for the first time or new here, just give it a while because it's so refreshing. I've been in big churches all my life and loved them. Believe me, loved them. But this is just where I need to be now. This is so wonderful.
Wow, thank you. We feel the same way. Praise the Lord. Right over here. Then we'll get into the word.
Thank you. God's been teaching me a lot lately, but one thing he wanted to share, that sometimes we don't have simply because we don't ask. I've been really struggling lately, but if I don't tell anyone, how can they encourage me and pray for me if they don't even know there's a need?
That's right.
So not if, but when you're struggling with something, let someone else in the body know. Give them the opportunity for God to use them. Also, if you're currently struggling, remember that it's often through our struggles that testimonies are born. Mm. And God is glorified. So as I sit here in the midst of this struggle, I want to thank God for what he will do through it and the testimony he's giving me. And I can't wait to see his glory revealed.
Well, let's just take a minute and let's just pray. Oh, you got one more?
Oh. I just wanted to say something to what Jen said. Jen, I've seen when you started coming to this church, and I just want to let you know you're an inspiration to me because I watched you struggle to stay through service, and you know how many times I wanted to just send you a note and say, Jen, I love you. Just keeping on, because I watched how hard it was for you to just, through all your struggles, to just sit here and be in a group of people. So just know that it's noticed, and what you do is noticed. So I love you.
Well said. Praise the Lord. You know, the neat thing about it, guys, you know, one of the things Jen said, I think, you know what she wrote, which was such a nice thing, and Jerry said this too. She said her dad, she was talking about our Abba Father. She sent me a text, said, Dad wants me to give a testimony this morning. And I was thinking, now, for one second, I thought, oh, her dad wants her to do that? That's kind of odd. But then I thought, you know what? That's the heavenly. That's our heavenly Father. He's our Abba. He's our Dad. He's our Ahava. We love him. You know, he's our Abba, our Dad. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say God. God wants me. But you know what? I think you said it just the way you were supposed to. Mm-hmm. It's your heavenly Father, and you were obedient. And so what God is doing in you and through you, thank you for sharing it. And even in the hard times, we know to pray for you, especially right now. Also, we know to pray for Gab. And it lets us know to pray and to encourage each one of those in the bodies. And so I really appreciate the fact also, all of you all sharing. Because, again, if we don't know, we don't hear, then we don't know. And I think these folks want to encourage. They want to pray for you. And stuff's going on, even just listening to her. I think that was just of the Lord, too. Hey, I've noticed this. I've wanted to say this. And thank you, Lord. So thank you for that. All right, guys. Well, let's get into the Word of God. And so if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We are, if you don't, then don't. We are going to be beginning into the book of Habakkuk. As soon as I can find my clicker. That's somewhere. Okay. Well, actually, funny thing is, there is debate whether it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk. But if you're from Alaska, you can ask Thomas. It's Habakkuk. Anyway, so there is a little debate on what it is, and you know, honestly, I don't care. I'll use them interchangeably. So you Habakkuk people can be happy with me, and your Habakkuk people can be happy with me, or vice versa. You can all be mad at me. Okay, we just finished the book of Colossians. We spent about 4, 5, 6 months anyway in Colossians, the substance, supremacy, and sufficiency of Christ. We just finished the book of Philemon. We talked about God speaking, a couple topicals, and now we are into the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending on how you want to phrase it, and what it is, and this Old Testament book, again, we want to go through all of Scripture. We don't just want to take one thing or one topic. We want you to know the whole counsel of God. That's why on Thursday nights, Gary is going through the book of Mark, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Same thing right here. We're going through, we're just a non-denominational church, and we are going through 1 Kings on Thursday. I go through 1 Kings or Ecclesiastes. And so right now we're into Habakkuk, and I just felt like the Lord was prompting there. Actually, use Wendy Jo. Now, probably most of your Bibles don't have a lot of markings in the book of Habakkuk. In fact, most of you are probably still trying to find the book of Habakkuk. And it's in the Minor Prophets. Right after, I think, Nahum and Micah. What is it in your Bible, Connie? That's so helpful. And so, and it's a very different book. If I could just be honest with you, it's about questioning God in stormy times. Now, I thought, you know, usually when you're, you know, Habakkuk was a prophet, we actually don't know a lot about him. There's not a lot written about Habakkuk, but we know he was a prophet. Some think that he was also a priest because of the last verses. Says that or he was in the temple or part of the worship and or part priestly duties and that he had the gift of prophecy. God made him a prophet because of some of the last verses in Habakkuk where it says references some of that. But it's a different kind of book because it's not the prophecy isn't about what's going on in history or what's going on with God's people or it's unlike any book I've ever taught, and it's kind of odd in this way, but it's kind of neat, and I'm going to tell you why. It's kind of neat because you're getting in on a private conversation. It's kind of neat because it's real. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, here we have a godly man. He is a prophet. Habakkuk's a prophet of God. And yet, we're getting a glimpse of an intimate conversation that he's having with God. You know, there are times when Things are going amazing. We heard some amazing testimonies last week, and then we've heard some harder times. Some of us are going through harder times this week. And wherever you're at, there's going to be a time when you maybe start questioning some of the things of the Lord. Or you're struggling, or you're going through a difficult time. And if you're going through that great time right now, then you thank Him and you praise Him all the more. But if you're going through a hard time, know that it's okay to question Him. And this is what we have here. We have the prophet of God saying, you're going to notice, he's going to ask a lot of questions. He's going to be like, how long, God? Why? What's going on here? I don't understand it. I'm confused. And that's real. And if you haven't done that with God, right, can I just be honest? Chances are, at some point in your life, you're going to be there. When we first get saved, you know, God likes, He's so special. He likes to hold us so close, right? Just like in the old days, the shepherds would, with the baby lambs, they would hold them really close to their chest. Did you know that? And sometimes they would carry them. Have you ever seen like a, I wonder if I had an olive wood thing from Israel somewhere I used to have up here. It's gone. Maybe it's, anyway, they would carry the lambs and they'd want them close to their heart. They want them to get used to the shepherd, to hear His voice, to hear the heartbeat of the shepherd, right? And God is so good and He's right there. And then, but as we grow, our faith has to grow, right? And then we have to, and that comes through, somebody said it here, and that we're so right on, that comes through trials. That comes through tribulations. That comes through stretching. Those testimonies where we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimonies are forged in the fire of those hard times. Now, in the middle of it, sometimes you're like, I can't see. I don't understand. I'm frustrated, Lord. Can I tell you, God's big enough for that. He's big enough for that. And He's real enough for that. And He's going to see you through it. In Jesus' name. So you're going to get a glimpse of an awesome, godly man who's really struggling with God in some areas. And maybe that might be speaking to some of us too here today. I see a couple of hands up in the back already. Elijah, do you have? We're going to run the microphone to you. Thank you. And then Joe, I see your hand up too.
What I think is kind of interesting is Habakkuk, you know?
Yeah.
When he's asking the Lord, why is this happening, stuff like that, he's not doing it in a complaining attitude, like, why is this always happening to me, like, why is everything against me, you know, like, or blaming God. He's asking, like, why, Lord, why is this happening? I just don't understand, like a confused child to his father, like, what's going on? What plan do you have?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I think he's doing both. I think he is asking why, but then I think he's also... Even you're going to find him like almost arguing with God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think that's real. And I think we've all done that at some point in our walk, right? But that's the right way that we need to be, isn't it, Elijah? Yeah. Yes. JoJo, you had something you want to say.
I just wanted to say that whenever we talk about a shepherd and a sheep, we always talk about how if a sheep runs off or does something they're not supposed to, he breaks their legs and carries them on his back. And that just makes you think that sometimes when you're starting to turn away from God, He's got to smash you down to build you back stronger, you know.
Sometimes, it's the Bible says He disciplines those He loves and everyone He treats as a son. You know, what father doesn't discipline their son? You would have a monster of a kid if you didn't discipline. Carrie, right there, Nehemiah, sorry. Think of all the exercise you're getting. And just so you know, if you're new to the church, you can ask questions as we go through this, okay?
I just have a confession to make. Okay. I borrowed that statue. It's home on my bookcase. Okay. I've been going through difficult times with finances, okay. And I look at it every single day often, and I will bring it back.
Okay, that's good. That's so funny. Stuff just appears in the church. Hey, there's a keyboard here this morning. Amy's like, do you know anything about this keyboard? Nope. Okay, great. All right, so here we are in the book of Habakkuk. It's only three chapters. Now, most of the teachers that I like to listen to, and they do it in one setting. They do it in one sitting, and they go through the book. So, of course, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to make it into a 6 months because it's a conversation. It's more of a narrative, And so it'd be difficult to do that. But we are going to spend at least a few weeks in it because there's still a lot of stuff here, and it's very real. So just introing the book of Habakkuk, here's what you're going to see in these three chapters. Okay, you're going to see this dialogue that Habakkuk's having with God. And you're going to see that in chapter 1, you're going to see that, if you look at the top part there, you're going to see the burden. He's wrestling with God's silence. He's wrestling with his country, Judah, the sinfulness, and God's character. Why aren't you doing stuff, Lord? Why aren't you working? Why aren't you bringing revival or stopping what's going on in our country? And how long and why? And then in chapter 2, you're going to see him, he's watching, he's waiting for an answer as they're dialoguing. And in chapter 2, verse 2 to 20, he's going to say, here's the answer. I want you to record this vision. You're going to wait for it. And then in chapter 3, it's almost like a song of praise or something, where a prayer or praise to God. You know, Lord, I've heard, I stand in awe, I rejoice. And in chapter 1, you'll hear the confession. He's like, Lord, you're confusing me. I don't understand. That's real. Chapter 2, you're going to hear him say, Lord, I'm waiting for you. And then in chapter 3, you're saying, Lord, take him through this, and saying, Lord, I praise you. Now, we're not talking about days here that he's experiencing this, right? If you notice this as you walk with the Lord, first, you know, a lot of our trials, they're very short, right? But for us at the time, where we're at with the Lord, when we're just getting saved, it's like lickety-split. But for us there, it seems so long. Lord, I prayed, it's been 2 days. But as you grow in your faith, that stretches out. Because we are to live by faith. And he stretches us. And he wants us to have those testimonies. And so, and then in chapter 3, he's going to say, Lord, I praise you. And the perspective in the first chapter is more like, we'll talk about that in a minute, more like horizontal. It's looking at what's going on instead of vertical, like in chapter 2 and 3, when we're looking up to the Lord. You know, in chapter 1, he's looking around and worrying. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 2 is more looking up and listening. And chapter 3 is looking ahead and believing. And the theme is Habakkuk's wrestling over with God and some of his ways and the resulting in his faith. The key verse, which we'll talk about in a minute, is probably, if you want to underline your Bible, if you do that type of thing and highlight your Bible, is chapter 2, verse 4. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And so the timeline is approximately the 600 B.C., during the reign of probably King Josiah and his son Jehoiakim. And it's really written for all of us. Like, usually a book is written to somebody, you know what I mean, a specific people group, but I think it's written for us. So we can really know that it's okay sometimes when we're frustrated to ask these questions. Now, if you guys don't come on Thursdays, you won't know this. So during this time in Israel's history, just a little bit of history here, okay, at this time historically, okay, the nation of Israel came together under Saul, really under King David, and he brought all 12 tribes together and formed Israel. You remember then they had a time of great prosperity with King David's son Solomon, so wealthy, so popular, so wise, okay, but he ended up messing up. He let women and money and influence drag him in the wrong direction. And so his son, when he died, Israel got split in two, and the land to the north was called Israel, and Jeroboam became the king over the 10 tribes in the north, okay, and keeps the name Israel. And then Rehoboam, which was Solomon's son, was also not a good king, keeps 2 tribes in the south and renames the kingdom Judah, okay? So the capital is Jerusalem, and then up here is Dan, okay, in Israel. Now, during this time, the Assyrians, If you look, what do I say here? In the upper northern kingdom, if you look at all the kings of Israel, I did this really in cool chart to show you, brought it here, I didn't do it, to show you, all the kings of Israel, they were all ungodly kings. Every single one of them. Now, that doesn't mean everyone in Israel wasn't godly, okay? But all the kings, the leaders, okay, they were all bad. In Judah, Rehoboam, there was a bunch of bad ones. There was only 8 good ones out of 20, okay? And so we're about right here, right after Hezekiah. We're probably more like around this time here. Josiah, he was a good king. A lot of reforms came under him and then his son, and probably right around this time period, okay? All right? Now, what happened was Israel started up north, and Dan was their capital, or one of their capitals. And this is actually in Dan. This is from Israel, pictures from Israel. It's so neat to me that the Bible is proved true again. So when they do these digs and they find these things, that these places historically actually existed, I want people to know the Bible is true. The Bible is true. So this is actually from Dan up there. I've been there. It's actually, it's a well-watered area. It's got like little rivers and things like that. This is the height of the walls that surround the city of Dan. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This was from our King study. But anyway, this was the judgment seat and the benches as you enter the area at Dan. This was the worship area built by King Jeroboam. And what he did was, since the temple was in Jerusalem, he said, oh, I don't want the people going down to Judah. I want them to follow me as the king. And so you guys remember the story, if you're familiar with it, he built, made a couple of calves, ugh, and said, hey, you can worship God here. We'll put a couple of calves. So he built an altar in a high place. And this is actually where I got to walk up there, even felt icky, where they would worship the calves, the golden calves, during King Jeroboam's time. So I say all that. And what had happened was God judged them. They weren't following the Lord's. They were worshiping idols. He sent in the brutal Assyrian army, and they came in, and they took over Israel, the northern kingdom. And then in the south, there's Judah. And so what's happening now is now Judah is starting to adopt the same sins. They're not following the Lord. They're seeking after other things. They're letting their hearts be led astray. And now God's, Habakkuk's like, God, why aren't you doing stuff? Look what's happening in our nation. Look at the ungodliness. Why aren't you doing something? I'm so frustrated. Look at the people around me. They're worshiping idols. They're not serving you. God, where are you? We could do that today, can't we? In our churches? It would be very easy for us to say, Lord, look at all these faker bakers, right? I don't want one more talker about Jesus. I want to see more walkers for Jesus. Not that we're perfect, but we want to live a life that honors him. That's our main thought, right? That's what we need. That's what the world needs, to see Christ in us, right? Amen. The hope of glory. They don't need you. You might think they need you. They don't. They need Christ in you. They need Jesus. He is the answer to everything they've been looking for. The reality of him, the presence of him, the provision of him, the comfort of him, right? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, so where we're at now is Israel's been taken over by Assyria, and now there's Judah here, and what's happening is God's raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're taking over the Assyrians from Nineveh. Remember, they were brutal people from Jonah. They would impale people and put their heads outside their Nineveh. Anyway, so he's raising up the Babylonians to take over the Assyrians, and then he's going to bring them down to judge Judah. Okay? One of the key verses in Habakkuk is this one. It's in Habakkuk 2:4. And he's talking about them, you know, the Babylonians, and he's saying, if I remember correctly, he's saying his soul is puffed up and it's not upright within him. The New Living Translation puts it this way. He says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and they live lives that are crooked. And God's saying, I don't want you to be like that. He says, but the righteous shall live by faith. Okay? The righteous will live by faith. It's actually quoted 3 times This one little, nobody even has any squiggles. You don't, probably don't have a lot of underlines and highlights in the book of Habakkuk. Yet it's actually mentioned three times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38, all talking about the righteous living by faith. That's a big component to our lives. You know, what's happening is, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but it says the righteous will live by faith, or by his faith, depending on your translation. Our life isn't supposed to be, if everything went well, would you really need faith?
No.
If everything went perfectly in your life, would you even need faith?
No.
You wouldn't rely on the Lord, would you? You'd rely on yourself, right? In fact, that's a trap some of us have now. We rely on our intellect. We rely on our money. We rely on whatever. But the righteous live by faith. That's how their lives... Lord, I don't know... How can I give? I can't... I need to pay my own bills. I'll do it first. I was talking to someone else. They're like, I got this going on. I got this going on. I can't go to church on Sunday. I was like, well, you got a choice to make then, don't you? Are you going to prioritize him? Seek him first in his kingdom? And then I have all the rest added unto you? Or is he going to be last in your choice? We have to prioritize him first, right? The righteous are going to live by faith, or by their faith. That's how God expects us to live. So there's a perspective here. Okay, I don't know if you have... I don't have my cell phone with me. But, okay, it's almost like if somebody sends you a picture. Have you ever done this on your phone? Okay, you look at it horizontally, right? And it's cut off. And you're like, what is this? I can't even tell what it is, right? Because we're only seeing things through horizontal views. Do you know what I'm saying? We're looking at our circumstances. This doesn't make sense. God, you don't make sense because we're seeing it like this. But when we turn it vertically and look up at the Lord, we're seeing everything like it should be. See, so the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we seeing things from an earthly or worldly perspective, or are we seeing things from a heavenly perspective? You know, this is not your home. You're a stranger. You're an alien. You're traveling through. Your hope, your reward is actually in heaven with him. You already have the greatest treasure ever if you are born again. You have Christ. And hidden, the Bible says, are hidden all treasures. And then you get to be with him forever, where he's going to wipe every tear from your eye. That's pretty amazing. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain, right? Are you looking at things from the earthly perspective and just going, I can't do this. I can't. Are you saying, Lord, I'm going to trust in you? There was a time when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, and you guys probably remember the story, right? There's a storm coming in, right? The winds are picking up, and in the Sea of Galilee, and the these experienced fishermen, they're on this boat, and the waves are coming in, and the boat's starting to sink. And they're all panicking. They just saw Jesus do miracles on the shore. And so the interesting thing to me is, do you know what they said? Jesus, they woke him up and they didn't say, Jesus, don't you have the power to stop the storm? They didn't say that. They said, don't you have the strength to stop it? They didn't say that. Does anybody remember what they said? What? Yes. They said, Jesus, don't you care about me? Because they're looking at the wind. They're looking at the waves. They're looking at the boat sinking. They're looking at their... Instead of thinking, hey, Jesus said we're going over the other side. That was his word to me. Not we're going under. We're going over. And I need to trust in his word that he's going to see that through. Jesus said, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, maybe you don't feel like that, but that's what he says. He says he's going to see you through. That's what he says. Do you trust him? That's where faith comes in. We have to see it from a heavenly perspective. You know, somebody was telling me, I think it was Chris the other day, you know, it's like the book of Ecclesiastes as we're going through. All this stuff, meaningless. It's him. That's where this is all going. We have to learn to see things from a heavenly perspective. The Bible talks a lot about faith. And it says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Listen, I like the New Living Translation. I think this is what it says here. For I will walk by faith even when I cannot see. And there's going to be times in your walk where you cannot see the end from the beginning. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Right? There has to be. And that's faith. That's when you say, I can't see it right now, Lord, but I'm going to trust in you anyway. I'm going to trust in your word anyway. I love Most for His Highest, and there's a Oswald Chambers wrote it, and he said, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you might not understand at the time. Do you get that? Maybe you don't understand it, but God is right there. You have to rely. He's proved his love to you at the cross. He shed his blood for your sins personally. He's shown you everything has to be at the backdrop of the cross. It says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Even our salvation starts there. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he earnestly rewards those who seek him. It's all about faith, and that's living our lives. And even Hebrews 12:2, and that's one of my favorite verses, the Bible tells us that we're to fix our eyes, to focus our eyes on Jesus, not on your trials, not on your circumstances, not on even your family, not on your finances, not at your job, not at your school, not at your video games, to focus your eyes on Jesus. He's the starter, the author, the finisher of your faith. It's Jesus. Yes, Mark.
Can you go back to Hebrews 11:6?
No. Yes, I think I can. Okay. Sorry, I apologize. What I was doing right that second, as I was thinking to myself, oh Lord, I haven't even gotten to verse 1. That's what I was thinking to myself. I was going to get through the whole chapter 1 today. So obviously that's probably not going to happen. Anyway.
Ish. There's two parts to verse 6, and the second part is the part that
I've
always had the most trouble with. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's not a problem. There is no problem in believing that he exists. The real problem comes
in anyone that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I can believe that he would reward Pastor D because he's a pastor, or he could reward Gary because he's just such a good guy. But would he really reward me? I know me. I know all the stuff that I've done. I know how bad I have been. And we cannot allow the enemy to lie to us, and that we would believe that, well, yeah, that I've been that bad. You know, it's not true. He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And we have to be earnest and diligent in our seeking.
Yes. Well, can I say something else, Mark? Not to insult you. You are that bad. So am I. But he loves us anyway. And he says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me, says the Lord.
He sees me as Jesus, not as myself.
Yes. He loves you. That is amazing to me. And so when I look at the Lord, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, he's the starter and the finisher of our faith. Our whole lives are, it's not just salvation. Hey, I'm saved by faith, right? Saved by grace through faith? Yes. Okay, then I'm going to live my own life the way I want. No, God doesn't want that for you. He wants you living your life. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight, so I can grow, I can mature, I can share others the testimonies of Jesus coming through for me, right? The only reason this church is here, somebody said nice things about it, it's because of Jesus's getting me through or someone else through or you through, because now you're a part of this. It's Jesus. He's the amazing one. It says this, it says, and this is what faith is, it defines it. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's the whole life of a Christian. You know what? And here's the thing. I don't even know how to say this. And maybe this quote will help, but this is Augustine said this. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we do not believe. So here's the thing. Habakkuk's name, Habakkuk, I was going to share this in verse 1, which I didn't even get to. Habakkuk, Habakkuk's name means this. It means to embrace, like a bear hug, or to even to wrestle, you know? So, you know, in Hebrew. So you would say, hey, give me a big bear, Habakkuk, you know? Or it means to wrestle. Right now, Habakkuk is wrestling with God about things in his life. He's seeing the wickedness of his own people. He's saying, God, why aren't you doing something? People are wicked. They're messing up and you're not doing it. And I don't understand. Why are you showing me these things? And God's going to answer him. But it's those times, especially when God is calling you, when you're going through the grinder, or where you can't see God clearly, that you have to trust in him by faith. And when you get to the other side, and I can tell you this 100% of the time, you get to the other side, whether that's 2 weeks, 2 years, 22 years, you will have a testimony that, again, gives glory to your heavenly Father. And can I say one more thing? The harder that struggle has been, the more difficult it has been for you, the more it has hurt or the more it has pain, the more whatever, the longer it's lasted and God has got you through it, the more powerful your testimony will be. And the more glory you will be able to give to your heavenly Father, and the more you'll be able to say, not just because you learned it from words or from pastor, you know, but you have learned it personally through experience from your heavenly Father. And that will carry a weight and a power that goes beyond mere words. Amen. That is walking by faith and not by sight. So don't you doubt in the dark what God has shown you clearly in the light. Amen? Amen. Okay, Chantel, one last thing before we pray. Yes. And then I guess we'll start verse 1 next week.
I was just talking to my father last night on the phone, telling him how much I appreciate everything he has done for me, how he bought my new house, and that I feel that I don't deserve it because of all the sins that I have done. And I asked my father, and I told him that I love him so much because God gave him to me for a reason. So by the walk of faith that I've had over the last years, obviously God does feel that I deserve the stuff that he has provided me for in the last 9 months. And beautiful home, beautiful dogs. I pay my rent on time every month, and he provides me for the food that I need. and the love that I need from everybody in this church that has watched me grow over the last few years.
Amen.
And I am so blessed to have everybody in my life in this church. Without it, I wouldn't be here.
Thank you. And that's all just, honestly, again, we just all go back to the Lord. It's all Him. And honestly, you know what? We don't deserve it. Not one of us deserve any of it. But yet, He loves us anyway. What a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Jim, go ahead, and then I'll close this out.
I try to keep my mouth shut, but...
You did great. You went the whole time.
But anyway, faith is so important, but it's also very confusing. People who don't believe want to know, well, how did you get it? Did God in His providence... Supernaturally, as a Calvinist, oh, He gives some faith and some not faith. How do I get this magical substance? How do I get more of it so that I can walk by faith? And it's so critical. And I think sometimes we kind of pass over it. You got to have faith. Faith is to believe what we don't see. But how do I get this? Can I eat it? Can I buy it? How do I get it? And you mentioned just a minute ago about, well, God will show you In the light, he will give you. And I part of this rewarding of those who diligently seek Him, when in Hebrews 11 it says, faith is a confidence, or uses a word, it's a legal word. Like you go to court and somebody charges you with robbing their house and you didn't do it, or you did do it. You know, how do you prove what is the truth? Faith is believing in the biblical faith is believing in the truth, because you can have faith in yourself, as a humanist says. You can have faith in Allah, as the Muslim says. You can have faith in Shiva, as the Hindu says. Or you can have faith in nothing, as the atheist says. How do you get this faith that saves? The just shall live by faith. And what Hebrews is saying is, you prove it by the evidence, what God shows you in the light. If you're seeking God, He will reward those. You say, prove it, Lord. Prove it to me. What is the truth? If you robbed my house and you say you didn't do it, but you didn't know I had a video camera, I bring it into court. I have proof you robbed my house. But you have to have proof. And faith is believing what is the truth. And it's not wrong to have a question or have a doubt that Allah is not God, mm-hmm. or Shiva is not God, because there's no proof. Mm-hmm. It's just emotional superstition. Mm-hmm. Biblical faith is different from superstition.
Yes.
It's different from some emotional wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. If I worship on a star yes. long enough, I'll get what I want.
Yes.
That's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is proven.
Yes.
I proved Him o'er and o'er, we sing. You see, He shows you in the light the evidence of heavens and that He exists. But if you really seek Him, He'll reward you yes. with believing.
Yes.
He will give you the proof you need. And that all started really, you know, before the Bible was written, God used this ancient man, Socrates, yes. who got in trouble in Athens because he said, where's the proof that these statues are gods? And it started a whole different way of thinking about believing and what is the truth. He had to drink some arsenic. But we see the truth because God gives us the light if we ask Him. There is proof of the word of God
yes.
through prophecies. The yes. There's proof of Jesus is the Son of God. There's proof in all of this. So you don't have to get something out of a bottle that I'm going right. to get this faith. It's just something you wish to get.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
All you got to do is use your brain yes. and seek God. He will show you this is truth
yes.
and not a lie.
Yes.
And this is so important. The just shall live by faith because it is the truth.
Yes.
It's proven. It's proven, not just guessing or hoping.
Yes.
And actually in Hebrews it says, hope is based on the foundation of you believe. Because you have a foundation, like you're building a house of belief in what is the truth, your hope is resting in that confidence. It's all invisible, but we have this belief.
Yes.
Oh, thanks for letting me run my mouth.
Well, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, struggling today in a certain area, Lord, or with you in general, they would cry out to you, Lord, and just say, will you please help me to believe? Will you show me, Lord? I just think of even that that person where the disciples couldn't heal him, and they brought him to you, Jesus, and they just said, help me with my unbelief, and you took him right there. So, Lord, if I just pray that you would stir even someone's heart, help me with my unbelief, Lord, right where each person is at, Lord God, strong or weak or anemic, Lord, that you would meet us right where we're at, Lord God, and that you would build our faith upon the solid foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, and upon the word of God. We can trust in you, we can trust in your word, and we can do it by experience. As we trust in your words, Lord God, you take us over to the other side. So I pray that blessing of trust and of faith when we see and when we cannot see. And I ask that in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name. If you'd like to come to the baptism afterwards, you're welcome to come over to our house.